seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 4, and the first verse. The book of Ruth, chapter 4, and verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and unto whom he said, How such an one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. The book of Ruth, chapter 4 and verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, How such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Well, remember this morning we looked a little at this first part of the text, and how wonderfully the Lord works both now and in his people, and he did in the case of Boaz and two of Ruth. But I want us help this afternoon to go a little further with the text. We looked somewhat this morning at that word which he said, Ho, such an one. I just want to begin here because that word ho too, we believe, and on many occasions it has been referred to as the word come. Like when the shepherd says to his sheep, ho, ho, not just to get their attention as we looked at this morning, but to, it's a word bidding them to come to him. And let me just lovingly say this, that may the Lord whisper that to each of us. Whatever be your state or case this afternoon, oh, may the Lord whisper that come to your heart and mine. The hymn writer said, didn't he, come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, join with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. You know, some beautiful words throughout God's word of that word come, isn't it? We think of what Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, such an one. Just to go a step further with this, such an one. You see, that reaches out to every true-born child of God, however poor they are, however helpless they are, however weak they are, such an one. However rebellious you may be, however hard-hearted, however distressed or weighed down, and so we may go on, whether they be Jews or Gentiles, whether they be rich or poor, whether they be weak or whether they be strong, such an one. May that be of sweet comfort to you. This afternoon, you may say, well, Lord, I feel out of the secret. I feel so devil hunted, so tried and so buffeted on every side, so full of sin, such an one. It reaches right out to every one of the Lord's dear people, such an one. And then he goes further, and he addresses this kinsman of whom he had spoken so of in the previous chapter to Ruth. He says in verses 12 and 13 this, "And now it is true that I am thy kinsman, and thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." And you see, here in this text was the fulfillment of what Boaz had said to her. But let us look a little at this latter part. How such a one, turn aside, sit down here, and he turned aside and sat down. Well, may the Lord graciously help me to open it up a little. First of all, this such a one had got to turn aside. And it may be that that's a word for some poor soul here today. Turn aside. I want to look at it in a few ways has helped. There's much, if we are the Lord's children, we will have to turn aside from. We shall have to turn aside from ourselves and turn to the Lord. Because really what Boaz was saying here to the kinsman was this, turn aside. He got to turn aside from himself and from everything of man. He got to turn aside, and so have you and I, from everything of this world. Turn aside. It's a beautiful word, really, isn't it? I preach this to myself, you see. We need to turn aside from our own deceitful heart. We need to turn aside from all evil thoughts. We want to need to turn aside from everything that's grieving to the Lord. Turn aside. And so this is a vital word. Why does the Lord speak such a word as this? That he wants the sinner or their heart, and he wants them to turn aside from everything but him. You think of the dear disciples when he said to them, and in all their livelihoods and wherever they were, he said to them two words. Jesus did. Follow me. And what do we read? They left all and they followed him. They turned aside from everything, and all they got to do was to follow their dear Redeemer. But they had to turn away and turn aside from everything else, didn't they? And this word is clear instruction when it dropped in yesterday with power. Turn aside. And you know, really, we should turn aside from all sin. Turn aside from all our unbelief. Turn aside from all our doubts. And turn to the Lord. How many times were the children of Israel exhorted by the Lord to turn away from all their idols, from all the wickedness, from all their enemies, and turn to the God of heaven. Turn aside. And so it is a vital word. And turn aside from all head knowledge religion. Paul, you know, as I've said many times, had to turn aside from all that religion that was just in his carnal mind and turn to the Lord. You know, there are many things we try and fathom out with our carnal minds of the Word of God. I keep thinking of that word, and it's been with me many years now, that no scripture is for private interpretation. May we never be left just to private interpretation of God's word. What we need, you see, and the Holy Spirit will enable us to turn aside from all natural interpretation, to turn aside to that which is real and that which is truth and that which is revealed by the Holy Spirit. And it may be you're in something today, you dear young people. You've got to turn aside from worldly company. You see, Ruth had to turn away from all the things of Moab that she was brought up in, and all the traditions of Moab, and all the things that were in Moab to attract her. But she had to turn aside from it all, didn't she? But then there's another side to this, and it's a very sacred side, and may we each be favoured to know it. We've indicated of a few things we will have to turn aside from to be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. But the Lord does say, you know, different times in his word, now turn aside and meditate upon me. Consider me and all that I endured at Calvary. Oh, you think how blessed it is when the Lord enables us to turn aside and consider him and consider what he endured. It's a very sacred spot, you know, when we can turn aside. You think when we're in paths of affliction, it may be in pain, it may be in anguish, and it may be in a path of sorrow, and there may be those of you weeping this afternoon, and much to distress you. Turn aside and just have a little view of what he endured. And that will enable you to leave all those things that are plaguing you and troubling you and casting you down as you turn aside and consider him. I love that word Paul wrote to the Hebrews when he said, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." And then listen, what does he say? "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You know, when we come into places of opposition from Satan or from man or whatever it may be, or we come into places of deep affliction and it weighs us down and we wonder where the scene's going to end, or it may be in trouble of circumstance, it may be troubles in the family, and it may be troubles in our souls, but oh, when we're enabled to turn aside and consider what he endured, lest ye be wearied. You see, we're soon wearied and fainting in our minds when trouble comes, aren't we? When affliction comes, when opposition comes, we're wearied and we're fainting in our minds. But he says, for consider him. Oh, to turn aside to this. It's blessed, you know. And we cannot do it ourselves, can we? But here we find this was the instruction, not just of Boaz, it's the instruction of the heavenly Boaz. Turn aside. And there may be one here, you've got to turn aside from it. It may be natural ambitions. It may be that the Lord has got something else for you to do, you see. I think of several over the years of the Lord's dear children in their early days. They've had great ambitions, and it's right to have them in employment, in their concerning their pathways. And what does the Lord do? He's turned them away from it all, and they've had to go in a path that he has chosen for them. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. In my early days, we had many ambitions. But you know, the Lord turned me aside from them all. It's wonderful to look back on, you know. And it's very humbling. Now, though this may seem a strange text to some, it's a vital word, you see, turn aside. But then he goes further. Sit down here. Sit down here. You know, in each detail in this text, and I'd never preached one before, even thought of it. But you know, each detail, and sometimes there's a word that you read in God's word, and when the Holy Spirit opens it up to you, it may be in private meditation, it may be as you sit under the preaching of the word, and each little clause means so much. And here in the case of Boaz and this kinsman, what Boaz said, you know, was vital for that kinsman. It was the instruction, not just of Boaz, but of the Lord. Sit down here. Sit down here. Well, one place that a real child of God wants to sit down here is to sit at the feet of Jesus. We read in the chapter previous this morning how dear Ruth lay at the feet of Boaz. Sit down here. And this is the instruction that Boaz gives to this kinsman. Sit down here. But oh, might be the word of the Lord Jesus to our souls, for him to say, come, sinner, however black you may be, however vile, however poor, sit down here at my feet. And that's the reason we read Luke chapter 7 together this afternoon, in trying to prayerfully pray that the Lord would give us what we should read this afternoon, that dropped in so sweetly of the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Simon was to entertain the Lord of life and glory, the Lord Jesus. But that dear woman that was a sinner, Simon was ever ready to say what she was. What was that dear woman to do? She was to sit down here at the feet of Jesus and to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head. Oh, do you desire and do I to sit at the feet of Jesus? We read concerning dear Mary in the house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Dear Mary, it refers to it, doesn't it? She sat at the feet of Jesus. Oh, to sit at his feet. Sit down here. It's one of the best places the child of God can ever be sitting at. It's one of the safest places. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you think too of the case of dear Legion, the Mad Gadarene. You look at all what he had to turn aside from. But where did the Lord bring him? We read this, don't we? He sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And sitting at his feet, we shall be humble. Oh yes. I remember many years ago, one of the old ministers, the late Mr. Jesse Dales, there was trouble in one of our churches, and the dear man, with all his wisdom, and he had to go, and he heard what this one had to say and that one had to say. And then he said, "Friends, where you've all got to be brought is this, to sit at the feet of Jesus." And he said it'll all be put right then. Sit at the feet of Jesus. You see, at the feet of Jesus, there's no room for anything of man or of our carnal nature at all. We've all, if we're at his feet, we shall be nothing before him. And here be the all and in all. So the word was clear here. Sit down here. Clear instruction, isn't it? Sit down here. Sit at his feet. And whatever may be before you and before me in this coming year, may we know what it is to sit down here at the feet of the dear Redeemer. And sitting down at his feet, we will be given gracious submission to his will. Is felt and known at the feet of Jesus, knowing his will. When can you truly plead that, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven"? It'll be when you're at his feet. And you sit down here. It's a good position to be in, you know, sitting. It's like really, and I looked at it in an old gleaner the other day, you know, as a picture in the old gleaner of a dear mother, or I presume it was a mother, or of this little child. And the little child was sitting at her feet, and she was expounding to her the things of God and the experiences of God's people. And she was sitting at his feet, at her feet, listening, you see. And, you know, it's a good occupation to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him, like that little child was, from its mother or teacher of the Sunday school, wherever she was, sitting at the feet, you see. He not only speaks of humility, it speaks too of submission. Submitting to the will of God. When is it we can submit at the feet of Jesus? How often do you have to pray, "Lord, bring me to thy dear feet"? And then too, at the feet of Jesus, we shall be looking unto him. Looking unto him. What does he say? They shall look on him whom they have pierced. And you think at the foot of the cross how many looked unto the dear Redeemer. His dear disciples, those dear women, Mary Magdalene, Salome and others, the mother of Christ, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Oh, to be there. But then he says here, sit down here. And this may be, and I say it lovingly, for one exercise, you know, concerning the Lord's Supper. Sitting at the table of the Lord. Sit down here. And oh, what a precious word that is. Years ago, two godly souls exercised regarding joining the church, and they so begged of the Lord as they went up to the house of God that the dear servant of God would come with a word clear to them of instruction to go and sit at the Lord's table. And the Lord wonderfully heard and answered their prayer. And the dear servant of God came with this word, come and dine. Just those few words, come and dine. And it was so sweet and precious to them, a clear word, you see. I know what you'll say, well, we feel our unfitness, we feel our unworthiness. But you see, the hymn writer said in the hymn that I quoted a verse from just now, all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis the Spirit's rising beam. Sit down here. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to some poor soul this afternoon. Sit down here. The hymn writer said, come sit at table with your Lord and eat celestial food. Sit down here. You think of those dear disciples just before Christ went to Calvary. He was in a very dark place. All the sufferings and agonies that he is to endure for his dear people. And yet he administered that sacred Last Supper. And they had to come and sit down there. Oh, they did. So he says here, sit down here. But then, there's another aspect to this. Think of it concerning this kinsman. Sit down here. Sit down here and listen to what I have to speak. Because you see, Boaz had got to speak to him. There were things he got to speak to him of. And think of it concerning your soul and mine. The pathway you may be in. Oh, to sit down and to listen to what the Lord will speak. To what he will speak. Sit down and listen, you see. It's like a dear mother may say to her child, he may be playing and she wants to speak to it concerning doing something or something of importance. And she say, now, my dear, you come and sit down and listen. Sit down here. And you know, that's what the Lord does with his dear people. He draws them away from everything and they have to sit. And I don't mean physically, but in their souls, sit. down here and listen to what the Lord will speak. And think of it coming into the house of God. Sit down here and listen. It may be the text that is vital to you. It may be you sit down here and something in the discourse that is life and power to you. It may be you sit down here and there's something from his holy word. It's a good position to be in, isn't it? But then there's another aspect to it. And it was found in the case of dear Ruth. As we read in this third chapter this morning together, of how she had been at the feet of Boaz and lay there, and then she had to leave before the morning came. But what did Naomi say to her? A wonderful word, really, wasn't it? Then said she, sit still, my daughter. You know, there are times we will have to sit still in matters. It may be, as one here, you may say, what shall we do? There are many places we come into in our souls, in our pathways. Lord, what shall we do? It may be your young ones regarding a husband, regarding a wife. And you go up to the house of God, Lord, what shall we do? Well, listen to what Naomi said to Ruth. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. Sit still, my daughter. Oh, think of that beautiful word. Turn aside, sit down here. Sit still. Why? And watch the Lord work. Watch him appear. Wait for his appearing. If you go into Isaiah chapter 30, there's a beautiful word. And what do we read? Their strength is to sit still. And you know, I prove that on many occasions. That is the strength of the child of God, to sit still. And that's a wonderful word, you know. Their strength is to sit still. And it may be that's to be your strength, to sit still. Watch the Lord unfold his will. Watch the Lord work. Watch for the Lord to open his hand and to work wondrously. Their strength is to sit still. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And what do we read then? We don't read he was disobedient, do we? We don't read that he rebelled. We don't read that he just went on his way. No. And he turned aside and sat down. What do we find in this latter clause? This beautiful experience, willingness to obey Boaz and what he said. Willingness to obey the heavenly Boaz. May it be said concerning each of us And he or she turned aside, away from everything, and sat down to hear what the Lord had to speak. That's a wonderful place, you know. And oh, as we venture on from this day through this coming year, may the realities of this be wonderfully fulfilled. And what was to take place? Well, the Lord was to unfold his will to Ruth, and that she should be married to Boaz. Oh, that it may be the set time throughout this year, if time is spared, that there may be those married to Christ. The hymn writer said, and may it be the language of each of our heart, I'm married to the Lord the Lamb. And you know, if you're married to him, like Ruth was to Boaz, married to Christ, it'll be well with you while life endure, and well when called to die. Heaven'll be your portion, poor soul. But let me come low. Do we desire to be married to him? I'm married to the Lord the Lamb. Because when you and I come to the swellings of Jordan, this will be the all-important matter. Because out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. But while we're journeying here below, may we enter into the realities of this text. Now, I've only touched a few precious points in it, and may the Holy Spirit convey the realities of it to your poor soul and mine. And you look at the fruit that was to follow here through this marriage. We read of it, didn't we, this morning? All the blessed lineage of Christ was to follow it. Oh, it was. You read the first chapter in Matthew, where it has all the lineage of Christ set forth. And this was a step in the blessed way. Oh, it was, that this should be brought to fruition. And the glory and praise was to be unto God. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Amen.